This video is brought to you by The Corbett Report, 2009 Video Archive. Buy your copy today at corbettreport.com.
This is James Corbett of corbettreport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we both welcome you back one last time for 2010 to the New World Next Week. Of course, NewWorldNextWeek.com is where you can go to get previous episodes, high quality, low quality, audio only, and much more. And again, we're so thankful for all the audience and for all the folks out there who have helped throughout this year on NewWorldNextWeek.com. So for this last episode of 2010, we'll do a little bit of a look back and a little bit of a look forward. And we'll begin on cyberspacewar.com with a piece from Threat Level, 2010, the year the internet went to war. It was a year without parallel. Threat Level's bread and butter themes of censorship, hacking, security, privacy, copyright, and cyber war were all represented in tug-of-war struggles with unprecedented outcomes. Google defeated China's censors but caved to corporate censorship in the U.S., the largest computer crime case ever prosecuted ended in the nation's longest prison term. That was the TJX hacker ring case. A small-time Xbox modder who advertised his services online beat the federal rap, and a mysterious computer virus called Stuxnet finally put proof to decades of warnings that malware will eventually be used to kinetic effect in the real world. A myriad of court decisions seemed to be a boon for online rights, while others clearly were a step backwards. The year 2010 saw the rise of the newspaper copyright troll, and judges pushed back an absurd jury verdicts for music file sharing and outdated electronic spying rules. And a secret spilling website flirting with insolvency and dissolution suddenly burst onto the world stage. WikiLeaks was without a doubt the biggest 2010 development in Threat Level's world. We'll end the article right there, and we'll just throw in a couple of related points. And that would be the Glenn Greenwald battle against Wired that gets into Adrian Lameau and his being an informant for the FBI and Bradley Manning and all of these things that surround the WikiLeaks case. So, James, you can either comment on the WikiLeaks adventures or just the cyberspace war in general.
Yeah, or how about something completely different? I think there's a story from the end of this year that's going to be increasingly important in future years, and that's the FCC's move to regulate net neutrality. And surprise, surprise, oh my God, who would have predicted it, except for me here on New World Next Week, when the FCC is allowed to bring in the regulations to help bring in the net neutrality that we all want. Oh, by the way, there's some hidden loopholes in there, and they don't actually ban the prioritization, paid prioritization, which is what the heart and soul of net neutrality is all about. And, oh, by the way, it doesn't apply to wireless networks. And, I mean, all of these ridiculous regulation loopholes that basically ensure that net neutrality will not be preserved in the way that people wanted it to be preserved by mother government coming in and telling everyone what to do and how to do it. So, once again, regulation does not work. A free market will work. So, once again, the FCC comes in and ruins net neutrality for everyone, and everyone's surprised that this happened, but except for the few people who realize this is the inevitable result of such things. So it has been an incredibly topsy-turvy year for 2010 in terms of the cyberspace war, and I can only imagine it's only heating up from here. I don't think it's going to simmer down at this point.
Absolutely, and I just now remembered that, of course, last week as these FCC decisions were coming down, the good timing, of course, there was the worldwide outage of Skype, which led to us, James, last week canceling New World Next Week. So just interesting things, again, to stay on top of, and like you said, so many of these things are going to heat up in the coming 2011. But let's move on to our second story, and again, another bit of a look back, and this we'll take from the Washington Post. 2010, worst year for bank failure since 1992. More banks failed in the United States this year than in any year since 1992 during the savings and loan crisis, this according to the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. Amid high unemployment, a struggling economy, and a still devastated real estate market, the nation is closing out the year with 157 bank failures, up from 140 in 2009. As recently as 2006, before the bubble burst, there were none. Now there are even more on the horizon in the FDIC's list of problem banks. Those with weaknesses threaten their continued financial viability stood at 860 as of September 30th, the highest since 93. Historically, about a fifth of banks on the watch list end up failing. Bank failures have left the FDIC insurance fund in the red, but the agency predicts that it will have more than enough money to meet the anticipated cost of failures through 2014. As the financial crisis of recent years recedes, the FDIC has been predicting that 2010 will be the high water mark for bank implosions. Going forward, the FDIC looks to see fewer failures. Some industry observers agreed. James?
Well, an interesting story, because it does highlight in so many ways the economic year in review, doesn't it? And I think one of the interesting parts of that article comes a little bit later on, where it says, ordinarily, failed banks continue to operate virtually seamlessly. Typically, they're taken over by other banks in transactions arranged by regulators. Which goes to show exactly what this is all about, which is the tiny banks failing in terms of, and the bigger banks swallowing them up. And it goes on to talk about the $1.9 trillion that have been pumped into some of the big banks, like Bank of America, that are failing, so that the smaller ones can be gobbled up. And unfortunately, all this represents is even a further centralization of economic power, economic wealth, and that's not good for anyone. It only represents the mega-rich eating up the mini-rich, and that's not a good state of affairs. So unfortunately, we see the economic collapse proceeding apace, and this is just another indicator of that.
Well, and I would say, and what happened a couple years ago when the FDIC colluded with JP Morgan to pull off a controlled coalition of Washington Mutual, which was my bank at the time, I think a great step for everybody, anybody out there to make, is to take your money out of these major banks and put them in a credit union if you have one locally available. I moved mine to a couple of different credit unions, and it's so nice not to at least know that JP Morgan or Bank of America or, you know, all of these banksters aren't loaning out $10 for every $1 you give them, James.
You know, it seems every Christmas, It's a Wonderful Life becomes more and more relevant. And I was watching that again recently, obviously, this Christmas, and I think I might have a podcast episode to do with that whole idea coming up soon. And so stay tuned for that. But yes, I think absolutely taking our money and putting it where it will be able to benefit the community is always a better idea than where it will just benefit or line the pockets of the Wall Street fat cats.
So, James, let's now move to our final story, which is a bit of our look forward. The amazing site ZeroHedge.com has a massive article called 2011, What's Coming? And I implore you, as with all of these articles and everything and anything we say on this show, is to go check out the documentation links that are provided below and to go read these articles for yourself. But just a couple of the predictions in here that strike me, I'll mention quickly, and then James, you probably have some you may want to mention. The U.S. will wind down its presence in Iraq. With every step we take out the door, domestic violence will rise, and Iran will assume a larger role in the South. Yada, yada. Russia and Germany, of course, won't go along with stronger sanctions against Iran. The problem will fester towards a resolution in 2012. Another prediction, Kim Jong-il will die. His son will take over. The air is a nut. There will be more military exercises that results in shells landing on South Korean soil. China will make public statements that it's trying to bring order. Behind the scenes, they will be applauding the chaos. The third one I'll mention, Obama's popularity will continue to fall. The legislative successes at the end of 2010 will convert to a series of failures. James.
Absolutely. Some interesting predictions. There are lots and lots of interesting and very specific and measurable predictions in this article, and I'm sure many of them will not come true, but it certainly hats off to the writer for being so bold in actually putting these down on paper. But some of them that I thought were interesting were, for instance, the idea that there will be no QE3, that QE2 will be the end of the line for quantitative easing, and that it will be disgraced as a policy for several years to come. I don't agree with that. I think there will be a QE3. I think it's inevitable at this point. But interesting, nonetheless, that this writer seems to think otherwise. And some of the other predictions also equally interesting. The idea that Mortgagegate will die as a story, and that as a matter of fact, he says it'll go the other way, that there will be the cry that there are too few foreclosures going on in the economy, and that's what's eating up the mortgage market. So some very interesting predictions. Again, I will echo your assertion that people should go and look at this for themselves, because there's lots of things that we can't get into here. But again, a very interesting list of predictions, and of course it's always fun to predict for the new year, and we could look to people like Gerald Celente at TrendsResearch.com or Bob Chapman at InForecaster.com and look at some of their predictions. But ultimately, I hate to sound like the Terminator 2 script, but the future is what we make it, and it hasn't been written yet. So hopefully we can work together to make 2011 a better year, or at least a passable year. And we'll have to, I mean, it's hard work, and we're going to have to work together.
That's very well said. Very well said, James. And I think as we start to draw this episode to a close, and again, draw New World next week to a close for the year, James, I want to mention real quick, due to circumstances beyond my control, my 200th episode will not air this Friday. I'm going to have to postpone it to the next week of January 7th. However, in its place, hopefully folks should still be satisfied. I've put up a recent mixtape, and as I say, it can't be news and politics all the time. I come from a college radio background, so I put up a mixtape of a lot of my favorite music from 2010, and also super excited to have done an interview with Red Ice Radio at redicecreations.com, where we discuss WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, the Pirate Party, the Portland Patsy, the Star Whackers, TSA, police state issues, so many things. And again, a huge thanks to Henrik and the Red Ice Creations crew. So hopefully the postponement of my 200th episode, folks will be all right with some of the other media that I have out there, James.
That's right, and there will be no New World next week. Next week, as I'm going to be relaxing in a Japanese hot spring, so boo-boo to all of you. Ha ha ha.
Well, and I'm coming to you from the dreary, bizarre climes of the Pacific Northwest in the U.S. here, and of course, obviously, as you may be able to tell, fighting a cold. So, James, I'll just quickly close out and say again, a huge thanks to you. I really appreciate that you and I collaborate on these videos, and I think they're a great outlet, and they've done wonders just to bring attention to media monarchy, although that's the least important part of it. But I think doing these shorter videos is a great way to spread this information to folks who aren't going to listen to two-hour podcasts.
I think so, too, and right back at you. I obviously couldn't do this without you, so thank you for all the hard work that you've done throughout the year.
And I look forward to a productive and positive and progressive new year. Oh, and I also want to mention, we should also, James, both you and I, throw out a huge thanks to Richard Grove and all the folks at the TragedyandHope.com community that, again, are a huge, wonderful wealth of resources and positivity that, again, I think you and I both kind of strive for, and that we're not here saying doom and gloom and martial law is coming tomorrow. And again, just as you said, the future is what we can make it. We're not masters of our fate, but we can be authors of it.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, absolutely. People should check out TragedyandHope.com. They should check out MediaMonarchy.com. They should check out CorbettReport.com. And together, as I say, we will make it a better 2011.
All right, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you.